everyone. Good morning and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is Nick Wright. Danny Cannell is with us this morning.
What up, DK?
What's going on? How are we doing today?
We are great. We are only 2 weeks away from the Super Bowl. There are a ton of storylines to dive into this morning. And we're going to start on your corner, Nick Wright, with the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are playing for the Lombardi Trophy for the first time in 50 years, thanks in large part to that guy right there, Patrick Mahomes. And while Mahomes has been lights out this postseason, he did come up just short in the AFC Championship game last year against Tom Brady and the Patriots. But after that loss, Brady reached out to Mahomes with some interesting advice. Take a listen.
The biggest thing that Tom said to me was just to stay with the process and keep being who I am. And that's something that's important. As a guy who's had so much success every single year he's been in the NFL, is that he goes out there every single day and he treats it like it's the most important day. And so that's something that I'll try to do for my entire career.
Nick, when you look at a guy like Patrick Mahomes, what he's done so far in such a short amount of time, do you think he could eventually overtake Brady as the greatest of all time?
I think this is such a fascinating question, because at first blush, you say, well, on one side of the ledger, you've got Patrick Mahomes, who I think a lot of people are already starting to say might be the most talented, physically gifted quarterback, checks every box we've ever seen. On the other side, you've got Tom Brady, whose resume, winning resume to go along with the statistical resume, almost assuredly will never be matched. And you would say, well, then no, it's impossible. He has amazing numbers to go along with 9 Super Bowl appearances and 6 championships. No one will ever do that again. That I'm very confident in. But does that mean no one could ever, through the lens of history, overtake him as the greatest quarterback ever? Danny, I think it could happen, because we have seen it happen in another sport. Bill Russell, when he retired, had more MVPs than anybody ever, had 11 championships in 13 seasons. He even had his version of Brady Manning was Russell Wilt, where there was another guy in the same era who a lot of people thought, well, he should be better than Bill. He's more physically gifted. He can do more, yet this guy won more. This guy was more well-respected by his peers as far as who the best of the era was. And when Bill Russell retired, I imagine if these types of shows existed, the conversation would have been, well, he will go down in history, no matter how long history goes, as the greatest ever. He has 11 championships. He has 5 MVPs. But right now in 2020, do you ever hear anyone say Bill Russell is the GOAT? Even if maybe you should make the argument. People say Jordan passed him, LeBron passed him. Some people say Kareem, even Magic. Some guys have him outside of the top 5. So I say all that to say this. If Patrick Mahomes wins a handful of rings, he doesn't have to win 6, and continues to do things on the field we've never seen anyone else do, is it plausible? Is it on the board? Yeah, it's on the board. Is it a less than 10% chance? Of course, but I can't just dismiss it as impossible, because I do think it's impossible he gets the 6 championships.
You know, I think we have to be careful, because, you know, watching a lot of shows, listening to a lot of shows yesterday, it was almost there was this contest of who could rave the most, or who could make the most outlandish statement about how great Patrick Mahomes is going to be. And I don't want to be in that camp. And even like now on the fly, I think you make a really good case about why it's possible and why you could conceive that Patrick Mahomes could at some time. Because you are 100% right. I don't think there's any chance he gets 6 Super Bowls.
Or 9 appearances. It seems impossible.
It's insane. And it was the perfect culmination when it all came together with Brady tied with Belichick. The mindset, which is a very rare, just intense focus. You have to make a lot of sacrifices to have as much success as the Patriots do. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes wants to have that approach, where he's going to give up a lot of off seasons, give up some money financially, or if Andy Reid wants to do that at this point in his career. So from that standpoint, I don't think it'll ever be matched. There are, much like you've made the case for LeBron greatest of all time, and yet there are some people that will simply refuse to say, you know what, unless he has 6 rings, he's not greater than MJ. And I think there will always be a camp that falls in that line. But just the same way, where I do buy into your argument, Michael Jordan changed people's minds because he did things that were so impressive athletically, like in
Jordan was so great when he retired the first time before six rings.
Yes,
when he had three rings, that statue outside of the old United Center said the greatest of all time, and no one denied it. Magic had five. Bird had the same number of rings. Kareem had six. But it was like, oh, eye test. This guy was just better than all those people. So at some point, the eye test can overcome some of the other things.
And I don't think that's a crazy argument. I don't think that's making some hyperbolic yep. statement just to come out in strong support of Patrick Mahomes, because we've already seen clearly he's playing the game differently than anybody we've seen before in the history of the game, including Tom Brady. And Tom Brady, and this is where I think Tom Brady will struggle ever to become, even if he got a seventh championship, if he would become the greatest, you know, athlete in the history of sports, because what he does athletically isn't super impressive.
Right.
Right? We've seen other quarterbacks come, and even in his prime, it's not like he's running away and making crazy throws off balance. Now, it shouldn't take away from his accomplishments, but it's just a different type of conversation. Whereas Mahomes, like, if he gets half of those, I think three rings, and you start racking up multiple MVPs, then I think it's okay. We can look at this as a game-changing, era-defining type of player, where all of a sudden maybe we start looking at Patrick Mahomes and saying, this kid could be the greatest of all time.
But the other thing that's so impressive about Tom Brady is that he's done it without a boatload of weapons around yep. him. Year in and year out, he may have once, twice along the way, a Randy Moss or something like that. He had Gronk for a while. But what we've seen so far from Patrick Mahomes, while the team isn't paying him a ton of money, is that they're able to pour money into all the weapons around Patrick Mahomes. Can Mahomes do it for a long time? You know, if he is going to take the $200 million, that they're not going to have a ton of money to give to a Tyreek Hill or to a Sammy Watkins or whoever they're going to make as his speed guys, which right now you see Patrick Mahomes, at least in the last 2 years, really relies on that part of the game.
But one of the reasons he has to rely on that part of the game is because he does not have what Brady had for his first three Super Bowls, which is Hall of Famers all over the on the defense, the greatest maybe defensive coach in addition to the greatest coach ever. So the narrative on Brady that he hasn't had enough help is one, maybe it was true this year, but I think over the tenure of his career, he has been paired with the greatest coach we've ever seen. He had defenses with Richard Seymour and Ty Law and Lawyer Malloy before they got rid of him early on. He then did have Randy Moss, maybe the second best, some would argue, second best receiver of all time, mm-hmm. certainly a top five receiver of all time. He then had the entirety of arguably the greatest tight ends of all time, his career with him. So the idea that Brady's been starved of opportunity, and I'm not saying that's what you're saying, he obviously, it's been a long time since he's had the embarrassment of offensive riches Patrick Mahomes has had, but it's also been a very long time. In fact, one could argue he's never had a defense as bad as what Patrick had last year, or maybe even this year. Like this year, the Chiefs even came on strong late, but the first three quarters of the season was a bottom six defense again. The Patriots defense almost never like that. So it's kind of how you want to win games and the style points that go along with it.
Yeah, I think there are two biggest issues that could crop up with Patrick Mahomes as far as how he wouldn't overcome or what his significant obstacles would be. One is injury. The fact that Brady only missed one season in 20 years is pretty just, that blows my mind in itself. We already had Patrick Mahomes miss some time this season. Yep. The other is, and this is one thing that I don't, and that's my pushback a little bit, is how many different rosters Brady has been able to yep. bring to a Super Bowl. And the crew here with Tyreek Hill and Kelsey and Mahomes, I don't think that remains intact with the salary cap for a long, long time where you could see that. So if Mahomes can do this with multiple rosters with different weapons that he's working with, then that makes his case a lot stronger.
Which he would have to. And yeah. one other component is this. I am curious, now that NFL money for these guys is not that dissimilar to NBA money, I am curious if you don't have more guys saying, man, a hard 10 is good enough.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That at age 32, I've won a couple, if you've won a couple championships, if you won a couple MVPs, if you've made $300 million. If you don't say, you don't see NBA guys walk away early, even though the money's so big, because the risk of injury is so minute. And if it's an injury, it's going to be a knee ligament, and it's not something that's probably going to drastically change your life. I do wonder if you're going to, if the Brady Breeze era is also going to be the last era of quarterbacks saying, let me see if I can get 20 years out of this. And that is something that Brady's been able to do at a higher level. He won an MVP in his age 40 season.
Right.
I think any quarterback right now that has recently come into the league is a huge underdog to play their age 40 season, even if they could, just because I don't know if the incentives are aligned. So there's all those elements. Right now, I'd say it's a 2%er. It's about a 1 in 50 shot. Brady is an overwhelming edge. And by the way, Patrick hasn't even won his first Super Bowl yet. Right. He's got to wait at least 12 days for that, maybe longer. And so, but I don't think you can dismiss it. I don't think you can say it's an impossibility. TurboTax is here to help this tax season by making tax filing easier for you. They've made it their mission to give you all the tools and advice you need to get your taxes done with confidence, like making uploading your W-2 as easy as taking a picture. Just use your phone or tablet to simply snap a picture of your W-2, then watch your information appear in the right place in your tax return. You can be sure you're filing your taxes correctly while at the same time making sure you're getting the best possible refund. TurboTax, all people are tax people.
On to the 49ers now. They're in the Super Bowl for a number of reasons. A stingy defense, a stellar rushing attack, great coaching. What they haven't had to rely too much on is their quarterback in Jimmy G. Jimmy Garoppolo completed just 6 of 8 passes for 77 yards in the NFC Championship game. That is tied for the second fewest passes thrown in a playoff game all time. Danny, how much do the Niners actually need from Jimmy G if they want to beat the Chiefs?
They don't need a lot. They really don't. And this is the advantage of having a Kyle Shanahan system who has the perfect quarterback for that system. And he has engineered a system that doesn't have your quarterback have to make the type of plays that a Patrick Mahomes is going to have to make. Garoppolo has only gone over 300 yards passing one time. Three times, two of which came against the Arizona Cardinals. And then the other one came in the shootout against the Saints.
Which was his best game as a pro.
Clearly.
It was exceptional.
And the most impressive aspect of that game to me was not the over 400 yards passing. It was the fourth quarter drive when they were behind and he needed to put the team on his back. And he showcased to me a poise and a composure that said, the moment is not too big for me. And that is important for a quarterback to have, especially here. Now, this clearly is going to be a different stage. He's going to have to be efficient on third downs and in the red zone. And then here's where they're going to need him to be a difference maker. One or two plays in the Super Bowl for the 49ers to win, Garoppolo is going to have to do something off the script. Where you, maybe it's by a split second, a little bit of extra time. Maybe it's getting out in a scramble. You recognize man coverage and you get that extra 15 yards. Maybe it's a play like John Elway had in the Super Bowl where he's the helicopter, yeah. Right? And he was not a runner, but that was a difference-making play. You're not going to need many. Just one or two from Garoppolo. An efficient game, that's all they need from him.
So I understand what you're saying, and I think that is what the Niners hope for.
Right.
I think the Niners don't think they can win the Super Bowl with him throwing 8 passes, but they certainly hope he doesn't have to throw 38 passes. They hope that this is a 18 of 25 game for Jimmy Garoppolo where he makes a couple big plays. Like that, they would sign up for that immediately, especially if those couple big plays are for his team as opposed to going the other way for the Kansas City Chiefs. The last quarter century of Super Bowls, though, tells us when you have this big of a quarterback mismatch, you need that quarterback to step up majorly if you're going to win. I went through it before the show because I think everyone would agree Mahomes versus Garoppolo is the biggest mismatch on the field this week. I know they won't be on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. Steve Young versus Stan Humphries, team of the better quarterback won. Troy Aikman against Neil O'Donnell, better quarterback. John Elway against Chris Chandler. Tom Brady against Jake Delhomme. Remember that Super Bowl back in 03? Peyton Manning against Rex Grossman. The only time in the last quarter century we've had this type of quarterback mismatch and the inferior quarterback won was Nick Foles over Tom Brady. And that was when Nick Foles was coming off the best game of his season in the NFC Championship game, 350, three touchdowns, a 140 rating, and then maybe trumped that in the Super Bowl, throwing for 370 and three touchdowns, and being a part of the Philly special, doing all of that. There isn't a lot of precedent for the Niners saying, we are going to try to just have our quarterback be a supporting character and them being able to win. There's a lot of precedent for teams going into the Super Bowl saying, that's our plan. I know that was the Rex Grossman Bears plan. Let's have it be a special teams game, a defense game, all these things. But they didn't do enough to win those games. And so I think for the Niners to beat the Chiefs, they don't need Garoppolo to outplay Patrick Mahomes, but they need Garoppolo to play far better than we've seen him play in this postseason, obviously. And they need him to at least give them a B-plus level performance, because I didn't think the Titans could hold the Chiefs under 35. I don't think the Niners can hold them under 28. So how do you get around 30 points for San Francisco? If the Chiefs aren't turning the ball over a bunch like Green Bay, then you're going to have to do more through the air than they were able to do in the conference championship game.
Agree. I hear your point. But there have been other quarterbacks who have been the, quote, game manager role and won Super Bowls. But you're saying the quarterback disparity in those games. When Trent Dilfer wins with the Ravens, it's Kerry Collins.
Right.
So there wasn't Kerry Collins MVP type play player on the other side of the
ball. Exactly right. Brad Johnson, Rich Gannon. I know Rich Gannon had played well, but
he was in the MVP conversation.
Sure.
Rich Gannon had won one once
in his career, but I still think people didn't look at it as such a massive disparity as we're seeing.
Right. This one clearly is that. I would say you could bump up. What would you say? 15 of 28?
I said 18 of 25.
18 of 25. I think you could bump that up a little bit. I don't think they would be opposed to 35 attempts. I just don't think you can get more than 35 out of him. But he did do it with Drew Brees and in the Superdome, which was pretty impressive, but that's not the type of game you could rely on. But I do think it should be at least a little bit comforting if you're a 49ers fan saying, at least we did that once. But I don't think you can get in a shootout and hope to, your chances of winning would dramatically be reduced the more times Garoppolo has to throw the football.
Well, the Packers aren't the Chiefs, but Kyle Shanahan showed that he's not afraid to just keep running the ball. And do you think that could possibly be the game plan moving forward, where he does not need to rely on Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, I think it's very, I don't want to say easy, but I think it's easier to continue running the football, A, when you're gashing the other team for 7 yards a carry, but B, when the other team has multiple first half turnovers and you're playing from ahead. I think you saw the Titans, who had a running back that was on as good of an 8-game run as we've ever seen in this league, get scared out of running the football the moment the Chiefs took the lead. Chiefs didn't have to go up by double digits. They went up by 4, and they scared the Titans out of their game plan because they were, I know in the back of their head, they were like, man, Chiefs are going to keep scoring. They're going to keep scoring. Now, of course, this game changes if Nicky Bosa comes around, strip sacks Mahomes, and they jump out and play their style of game. Mahomes never had a playoff turnover. The Super Bowl would be one hell of a time for that streak to end. And so that's the question. Whose terms is this game going to be played on?
Right, and clearly the 49ers are going to want to dictate those terms early and often. But I thought one of the most underrated aspects of the game was Andy Reid, when they had the lead, was like, all right, you guys want to slow play this game? We'll slow play it, and we'll start running the football. I mean, they had an unprecedented stretch there where they were running it 4 or 5, 6 times in a row.
I hated it.
But it was actually really smart because I think the Titans started to press a little bit, said, man, that clock is running. We have to start getting more aggressive because the time is running out on us. I thought that was a brilliant aspect. And plus, they were rushing 3 and dropping 8, so it was like, hey, we're daring you to run, and they did.
It's a new year, the perfect opportunity to take your business to the next level by hiring the right people. But finding qualified candidates can be challenging. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF makes it easy. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. That's ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter.com/FTF. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, moving on to the Chiefs. Andy Reid has led KC to their first AFC title since 1970. He's been down to the Final Four 7 different times in his career, one of only 8 coaches in NFL history with 200 wins. But the only win that matters to him now is the next one, which would be his first ever Super Bowl win. His star tight end, Travis Kelce, has his back, though.
I love Coach Reid, man. He's definitely a part of the motivation. You know, we're sick of hearing what the media says about him, how he can't get the big one done. And you know what? We knocked one off the list, got the Lamar Hunt Trophy back here in Kansas City for the Hunt family. And you know what? We still got one more goal to knock off the list.
Nick, what do you think a Super Bowl win would do for Andy Reid's legacy?
Oh, I mean, he, to me, clearly becomes the second best coach of this generation, from 2000 to now, the last 20 years.
Behind Belichick.
Of course, yes, obviously. Behind Bill. Only one coach has, other than Belichick, multiple rings in the last 20 years. It's Tom Coughlin. I think Andy Reid is actually a better coach than Tom Coughlin, but it's hard to make the case when Tom's got 2. Andy's got none, but Tomlin's got 1. McCarthy had 1. You know what I mean? You go down the list. Holmgren, who coached in the 90s and the 2000s, has the 1 championship. It's hard to find a coach that would have a better resume if they win this championship. Don Shula, George Halas, Bill Belichick, Tom Landry, Curly Lambeau. That's the full list of coaches with more wins than Andy Reid, with a higher winning percentage than Andy Reid. It's just those 5 guys. One guy's got a field named after him. One guy's got the iconic hat. Belichick's the GOAT. Shula had the undefeated season. Halas also got a field named after him. Those are 5. That's the Mount Rushmore of coaches plus 1. Andy's the next guy statistically on that list. I'm not saying he's the 6th greatest coach ever, but a Super Bowl championship mints him as a no-doubt Hall of Fame coach and validates what has been a career, Danny, 21 years coaching, 15 playoff appearances, 14 double-digit win seasons, only 3 losing seasons, just a stellar resume with the 1 yeah, but that could be erased in 12 days.
I think I might have said yesterday he's a Hall of Famer even without this Super Bowl. I'm taking that back. Okay. I might take that back because I was, you know, we were looking at doing some research before, and you look how small the list of coaches in the Hall of Fame is, and it's one of the things that frustrates me the most in today's sports conversation, how much you need the championship to cement the legacy, to cement your reputation. And as much as I appreciate Travis Kelce getting out in front of it and saying, hey, I'm tired of hearing people say that, if you want to change the narrative, you actually have to change the narrative by proving people wrong and actually getting the win. Because unfortunately, people won't appreciate the consistency with which he's won, which might be more impressive than a lot of coaches who are in the Hall of Fame. When you consider the 15 out of 21 years, that is, you know how impressive that is? It is insane, the consistency with which you're getting your team in a position to win there. If he wins this one, it's a lock, though. And you know what his best argument is? It's saying Bill Cowher just got in. Why wouldn't I? He's got well over 50 more wins than him. He would have equaled the Super Bowl total. And it's like that's your greatest case is saying, well, if he got in, you have to put me in. And he would. So I think a Super Bowl cements it. I think if he leaves it out, I think the narrative continues. As unfair as it may be, it's just what we do in the sports lexicon now.
But just quickly, because when we talk about Andy Reid, especially as the season gets closer to the end, we always talk about end of game mismanagement with the time. And we talk about the monkey off Andy Reid's back. We never talk about why he's such an incredible coach. Just give us a line or two. Make the case for him being a Hall of Famer right now.
Well, the case for it right now is the 15 playoff appearances, 14 double-digit win seasons, which is insane. He's got 5 years he was one and done in the playoffs, but he's got 4 years he won multiple playoff games. So to me, those almost cancel each other out. But the biggest non-playoff case is this. He's one of the greatest offensive innovators in the history of the sport. What he has done, and he has not always had Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
Right.
He got the Chiefs a bye with Alex Smith. Donovan McNabb was a very good quarterback. He got the absolute most out of Donovan McNabb. What he has been able to do with multiple quarterbacks in multiple situations, I think you saw it this year. They beat a playoff team with Matt Moore at quarterback in a game where the defense wasn't. It's not like they held him to 3 points. The way he designs plays, the way his players adore him, the way he is just one of the greatest offensive minds we've ever seen, that's the case absent of the
Super
Bowl.
And the coaching tree, if you look under him, is super impressive, and it should be added to with Eric Bieniemy. I'll just leave that out
100%.
There.
100%.
So on March 18th, Tom Brady will do something he's never done in his 20-year career. He'll become an unrestricted free agent, meaning he will have full control over the next line on his NFL resume. And when asked about this, Brady said he was, quote, open-minded about playing for a team other than New England. Danny, you think the Patriots need Tom Brady more than he needs the New England Patriots?
This is a great question. I think it's really, really hard to answer. I'm going to say Brady needs the Patriots more than the Patriots need him, because the Patriots have forever, right? You know, as long as the NFL exists, they can start over and they can take a year or two, and they've had so much success. Now, Belichick is getting older, but you still, if he wants to, he could coach another
10 years
easily.
Yeah, Belichick's got more time as an elite head coach than Brady has left as a quarterback.
And as great as Brady is, and I think Peyton Manning, this may be one of the most impressive things he did at his point in his career, was to go somewhere else with Denver and all of a sudden just, you know, win another MVP and start, you know, another Super Bowl and just keep the thing rolling. If you go somewhere else and you're Tom Brady and it's a totally new cast, it's a totally new locker room environment, because I think Brady fits Belichick perfectly. It's this perfect marriage, and I think it's one of the reasons Belichick has been able to keep up this high intensity, high pressure, high expectation. It's our way or the highway. It's the Patriot way. You can go somewhere else. I don't know in today's player. Now, there will be an instant respect for Brady in the locker room, but that stuff gets old. I mean, how many players have we seen leave the Patriots and say, that wasn't a lot of fun? And it is great to win, but on some players, it rubs them the wrong way and they can't do it. I don't know if that travels as well as Tom Brady may think it does. And then you combine that with how hard it is to implement a new system. Does he have the right offensive lineman? Does he have the right weapons around him? Is there a defense? All of those. So I would say Brady needs the Patriots.
Well, I do wonder if Brady would want that to travel. Or if Brady wouldn't say after 20 years of boot camp, yeah, I wouldn't mind a little summer camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind a little more of a lax environment. And it's not like the Patriot way wins all the Super Bowls. It's won more than anyone else. But we did see the Eagles, who had a little more lax environment, not only win a Super Bowl beating the Patriots. But to answer the question, Jenna, neither need each other anymore. Listen, the kids are in college. The house is paid off. You've grown apart. It's time to move on for the better part of all parties. Like that's where we're at.
I don't think so. I think they need each other, and I think they'll come to that realization once the dust settles and Brady shops around and the Patriots look at maybe the draft options or look at free agent options. They're going to come back.
See, I don't think there is a strong case to be made for them staying together other than nostalgia. Other than we feel like, man, Brady should be a Patriot, and the Patriots quarterback should be Tom Brady, because right now the Patriots need to massively retool on offense. I believe they need a massive retool.
Is that
on
rebuild?
Offense. No, I don't know if you ever rebuild when you've got Belichick as your coach, you've got a defense at the level that it is, and you play in the AFC East where you're
6 wins right away.
I know Buffalo's coming, and Brady needs weapons. And he needs respect. And the lack of respect
from
whoever's going to employ him. I thought what happened this offseason was the most flagrant instance of disrespect since Jerry Krause and Reinsdorf, it was Jerry Krause, pardon me, with the Bulls, said to Michael Jordan, hey, win or lose, final year this year, we're breaking this thing apart. And what did Jordan say? He said, bleep you, I'll leave.
Right.
And everyone left. And then and by the way, Jordan still wanted to keep playing. We know that because he came back for the Wizards. Right. But Brady had just won his 6th Super Bowl. He was a year removed from winning his 3rd league MVP. He had gone to 3 consecutive Super Bowls. And he said, more soup, please. And they said, no, get the hell out of here with that. And when you look at the money, I don't think the Patriots are going to want to. They didn't want to pay him $25-plus million this past offseason when he was coming off a better year, when the team was coming off a better year. And I just want the audience to understand what $25 million means in the NFL these days. In 2020, Russ, Ben, Goff, Rodgers, Wentz, Ryan, Mahomes, and Deshaun, I'm incorporating their extensions, are all north of 30. Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, assuming he comes back, and Dak Prescott, they're all north of 25. So I've now listed 14 quarterbacks. Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, Nick Foles, Cam Newton on an expiring deal are all north of 20. So now we're at 18 quarterbacks. That's everybody. That's the whole league other than rookies and guys like Phillip Rivers or Jameis Winston who don't have contracts right now. So if the Patriots come to Brady, who made $23 million this year after making $15 million each of the previous 2 years, and offer him the same salary, so he is looking up at Joe Flacco, looking up at Alex Smith, looking eye to eye with Nick Foles, I would feel incredibly disrespected if I were him. And I would not stand for it, and he shouldn't.
But what happened to the narrative of Brady always plays for less because he wants weapons around him? Like, when did that change all of a sudden? When did it become disrespectful?
Somehow it changed
this offseason. It did. It absolutely changed this offseason, which I'm a little bit curious by. I think he will realize, again, maybe it's better to play for a little bit less. And I don't, because I don't think they have to retool. I think they're three pieces away, an offensive lineman, a tight end, and a wide receiver to add to that mix. I don't think it's a complete rehaul, but if they can do that and he takes a little bit less and he doesn't mind looking up because he's going to be looking at a seventh ring, then I think it's a different conversation.
But 2 points just quickly. One is, it's one thing to take a little bit less.
Right.
It's another thing to be the 21st paid quarterback in the league, in a 32-team league. And if you come to me, Danny, and not that you ever would, but just let's for instance, say, Nick, it's embarrassing. I'm in a bad spot. Can't make the kids' tuition payment this year. Can you spot me some money? And I loan you the money. And then I find out the kids are in public school and you just got a new Benz, I'm going to be angry. I gave you money, Patriots, to give me weapons. And you gave me who? Matt Lacoste? Mohamed Sanu on a cheap deal? You traded for Brandon Cooks, and I loved him. And we made a Super Bowl together. And you traded him away because you didn't want to pay him. So the money Brady's been giving them, I think he would argue, has not been spent the way he would have been led to believe it would be spent.
I think the thing the Patriots fans do not want to see is Tom Brady go somewhere else, or maybe they do, and then they don't even make the playoffs. And then it adds really...
Who's they in that? Brady or the Patriots?
Well, definitely the Brady. I think Patriots fans. I think football fans don't want to see him go somewhere else and then come up shy and then have to kind of quietly go into the
offseason. It's the nostalgia, but that's not... It's not our career.
You're right.
He gets
to
do whatever
he wants. Back here, First Things First, now joined by three-time Super Bowl champion, former head coach Eric Mangini.
Three rings right here. Good to see you. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are we doing?
Good, thank you.
You're right. We don't.
You don't say that
enough. And we should celebrate that more. I will now say that every time. It's because you don't come in and flaunt the rings and the accolades. You don't throw your resume to all of us when you sit down. That's what we love about you,
coach. See, that's what accomplished people do. They don't feel the need to flaunt it.
Unlike us.
Got it.
Nick and I exchange resumes every single day.
I've never had a real job. I've just done make-believe work my whole life.
I'm with you.
All right, time now for your prime performance, sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Whatever makes you whole. Patrick Holmes has made the Chiefs whole this past season, 615 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions.
Seems good.
And while the Niners have one of the best defenses in the league, stopping Mahomes is still a tall order. Nick, do the Niners have enough to overcome Mahomes' greatness, if you will?
I mean, absolutely. If I say no, that means I think the Niners have no shot in this Super Bowl, and I might damn well pick the Niners. The Niners are terrifying. The Niners' defensive front is the antidote to what the Chiefs do. It is I understand it's a different defensive system. Why are you smirking at me, coach?
Because he's trying to sell that he's not going to pick the Chiefs.
It's so funny. Like, it's almost like you're worried about picking the 49ers because it'll affect some sort of cosmic
force. None of those things.
That's guiding
the
Kansas City
Chiefs. I'm not superstitious. I don't believe in any of that stuff.
Okay.
But I am, sometimes to my own detriment, a true student of history. And I remember in a time when I had just graduated from college. I had no money whatsoever. And still to this date, one of my biggest gambling losses of my life was the 07 Pats. How can they lose? It's the most dominant offense I've ever seen. It's a quarterback at the peak of his powers, plus Randy Moss, plus they just crush everyone. Oh, I'm supposed to be worried about Justin Tuck. Okay, and then I watched a team with Strahan, obviously, these guys, Strahan's a Hall of Famer, a team say, well, the way we stop your passing attack is we have seven guys win throughout the season. Teams have had six or five. It's like we're playing with 12 or 13 men because we can create the pressure other teams create by sending extra men or blitzes with just four people. And then I saw him do it again 4 years later with a very similar system. I think this defensive front is better than what those Giants had. It certainly has more, maybe I'm too high on the, or just raw talent, but the guys, Nicky Bosa and his fellow monsters, like, and so if this is a game where Patrick doesn't have time, where they finally, some team for the first time ever does what coach has been imploring teams to do for 2 years, where they don't let him escape, where they keep him in the pocket, and all of a sudden it's a low-scoring-ish game, and it's going to be about the Chiefs stopping the Niners' rushing attack, that's scary. And so the Niners' defense and that front four, to me, Coach, can be the ultimate equalizer, more so than if you had three Hall of Fame guys in your secondary. That, I think, is easier to overcome than a dominant front four pass rush.
Look, if you have three Hall of Fame players on one side of the ball, regardless of where they are, you're going to be pretty good. The defensive line does create a lot of issues for people. And the one thing about the 49ers approach, though, is it's not just rushing with four. There's quite a bit of blitzing that's mixed in there as well that Patrick's going to have to sort out. But he has shown the ability to make people pay for blitzing. He's shown the ability to make people pay for not having gap and lane integrity. And when you watch the 49ers rush, there are plenty of examples where quarterbacks have the chance to scramble and extend plays. And I think that's got to be the starting point. Whether you can do it in the biggest game of the year, if you haven't done it all season long, it's hard. It takes a lot of discipline in a very intense moment to be able to get that done. Do they have enough to beat Kansas City? Yeah, of course they do. They have plenty of things that they can do. And I'd say the starting point, though, for Kansas City still has to be not beating themselves. We have not seen that aspect of it in two games. And that, to me, is my biggest concern for you as you sit at home and watch the game. You having your moment spoiled by someone jumping offside, someone having illegal contact on third and 22. Yeah. Someone jumping in for a punt return and muffing it on the 10-yard line. Take your pick of things. That, to me, has got to be the starting point, and hopefully you won't be looking at, and we won't be looking at this game as the one that Kansas City threw away as opposed to
because
they got
beat. The AFC Championship game, that's what how many times I brought up D. Ford lining up offsides?
Right.
1,000 times, which is exactly what you're talking about, a totally unforced, unneeded error.
They absolutely have enough to overtake the Chiefs. They have to go out and do it. To your point about the 07 Giants versus Patriots, that was a double-digit game. Weren't the
13.5 points?
Yeah, I mean, that was so, even Vegas was not giving them any credit. This game is much more evenly matched. And I do think the 49ers have a formula that has worked this season against the Chiefs. The Titans had it for a half, but the Colts and Texans, back-to-back weeks, and they were not as talented on either side of the ball as this 49ers team, were able to dominate the time of possession to limit the amount of times that Patrick Mahomes can actually touch the football and go out there and make all those crazy plays. They just showed the ability to absolutely annihilate a team on the offensive side of the ball to only require their quarterback to throw it eight times. They've got a formula. I don't think they can replicate that exact performance, but I absolutely think they could get enough out of their offense where they can play keep away a little bit. And if you find yourself in a game like the last two where the Chiefs have been down by double digits, at some point you play with fire enough, you're going to get burned.
Because can the Chiefs have another way of winning if you contain Patrick Mahomes, if they can slow him down, if they can throw him off? Is Andy Reid going to go back to letting them run the ball more than we saw last week?
Oh, I think if Patrick doesn't have a good game, the only chance the Chiefs have is if Garoppolo makes massive mistakes. But the problem is, if Patrick isn't having a good game, I don't think Shanahan's going to put the game in Garoppolo's hands.
Right.
And so, is there a scenario Mecole Hardman has a kick return touchdown and there's other reasons the Chiefs get ahead? Sure. But those are all, one percenters. Go ahead.
I give Kyle so much credit last game for his willingness
yeah.
to stick to the run. There are not many coaches, head coaches, especially offensive-minded head coaches and young head coaches that would have the willingness to do that. But to me, that showed a level of discipline that I really respect.
Here's what's so terrifying if you're a coach against this Chiefs team. You could say, well, if Mahomes is having a bad game, he still, you know, in the back of your mind, he still can put up four touchdowns in one quarter like he did in the second quarter against the Texans. So I think that's always has to be in there where you can't just go into your 4-minute offense, you know, at the start of the second half. You still have to keep in the back of your mind, well, that's always in there. And that can be really tempting. And I think it absolutely burned the Titans because they did get away from that. And then they saw the reality and they were starting to chase it way too soon. And I think Kyle Shanahan will stick to the run longer, but it's still such a temptation because you know how dangerous they are no matter how bad things look.
All right, let's stick with the Chiefs, who are playing in the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years, thanks in large part to that guy, number 15, Patrick Mahomes. And while Mahomes has been lights out this postseason, he did come up just short in the AFC Championship game last year against Tom Brady and the Patriots. But after that loss, Brady reached out to Mahomes with some interesting advice. Take a listen.
The biggest thing that Tom said to me was just to stay with the process and keep being who I am. And that's something that's important. As a guy who's had so much success every single year he's been in the NFL, is that he goes out there every single day and he treats it like it's the most important day. And so that's something that I'll try to do for my entire career.
Nick, do you think Mahomes could eventually overtake Brady as the greatest of all time?
I think it'd be foolish to say it's impossible. The only thing that I'll say I find to be impossible, implausible, is that anyone ever wins more Super Bowls or goes to more Super Bowls as a starting quarterback than Brady did. It was, as you said earlier, Danny, it's the perfect storm. Coach, quarterback, organization, some spectacular defensive coaches, particularly early in the era, great team all around, all of it. That, and some amazing fortune, which you have to have in order to win these things. I know people talk about the helmet catch going against him, but the tuck rule game, the different things that have happened that have helped them, the not handing off to Marshawn Lynch at the goal line, those things that led to it, no one's ever going to duplicate that. So if in order to become the GOAT, you have to get 7 rings, the answer is no. But I don't think you do, because we have seen this happen in sports history before. Bill Russell, when he retired, had more MVPs than anyone in NBA history, had more championships than any organization in NBA history. He had won 11 titles in 13 seasons. He had his version of Peyton Manning that he went up against repeatedly. Wilt Chamberlain, the guy who people thought, oh, he's probably more talented than him, can do more. But he always won. And Russell, when he retired, the thought was, well, this is the greatest basketball player we will ever see. And then multiple guys have passed him despite not equaling his MVPs. LeBron doesn't have more MVPs than Bill Russell. LeBron's got 4, despite not even coming close to his championships. Michael has 6 championships, amazing. Russell got 11. But the eye test, the ability to do everything, and just the gut feeling of, well, I just think this guy was better, was enough to overtake the raw ring count. So is it possible? Yes. What would it take? A decade plus of Patrick playing at this level, winning 4 Super Bowls. He currently has 0.
With various rosters.
Yeah, winning 3 more league MVPs. He currently has 1. Like, all those things would have to happen. So it's not likely. It's not my pick. But I can't dismiss it as a possibility, Coach.
I think the difference between great and greatness is consistency. And that's what Tom was talking about with Patrick, is the process. And when you become more famous, when you become wealthier, when you have that success, can you be the same guy that you were that got you to the place that put you in that position? And it's really hard to do because there's so much pressure to do different things. And it's hard to wake up the same way with that same hunger, but that's what Tom has been able to do. So in order to catch his greatness, he's going to have that consistency over a very long period of time.
A very long period.
And we talked about a little bit of the perfect storm New England-wise. There's a perfect storm in Kansas City-wise, too. You've got an excellent coach who's won without Patrick. Okay, we won with Alex Smith. We got 2 unbelievable offensive weapons that he came into. You've got a guy who's very mobile. And as we talk about the future, Tom losing his mobility, that didn't affect anything. That was never part of his game. Patrick, if he loses his mobility due to age and time, you know, I think that's going to have more of an effect on his game. So can he ever catch him? Of course someone's going to catch him, because there's great athletes that come up every you know, generation, however you want to look at it. We're always saying no one will ever catch this person, and then someone catches that person. Could Patrick be that guy? He's shown a lot of traits. And just like Tom showed traits early in his career, now the question is he going to be great, or is he going to have greatness, and does he have that consistency to make that jump?
I'm not going to lie. When I saw this topic, I was like, oh, no. Like, I this is going to be annoying, because I don't think it's too early. And there was a contest yesterday when you watched nationally the conversation. It was who could make the strongest case that Patrick Mahomes is going to be better.
Everyone's
than
trying to
he's going to be
Michael.
Better than Brady. He's
very
gonna,
frustrating.
Well, not only
David.
That, he's going to be more impressive than Michael Jordan was to the NBA. And it's like, well, if he played baseball, he could be the best baseball. Like, it's like you just all these accolades kept coming and people tried to magnify how great he is. So I was annoyed from that. I don't think there is any chance he gets six rings. So and there will be some people who will refuse, just the same way they will ever refuse to acknowledge that LeBron is closing on MJ. Not that he's there yet, but he's closing on MJ. There are just some people like myself that are stubborn that would say, no, championships matter. But I think you brought up a really interesting case that before MJ, there was Bill Russell and there was Will Chamberlain. There were other players who were in the conversation for greatest of all time who get completely left out of the conversation now because of, yes, the championships, which he was able to get close to, but he never passed Bill Russell, but because of the way he played the game. And I think when people watch Patrick Mahomes, you look at him and you're saying, this guy is different than anybody we've seen do it before, the way he plays. His arm talent, maybe the strongest we've seen in the history of the game. His running ability is not, he's not Michael Vick, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he can run and make plays with that combination of arm talent that we haven't seen before. And you want to talk, like, Jordan came on the scene, he was the dunk champion, he had signature moves, he had signature shots. Patrick Mahomes in year three already has no-look passes, which we haven't seen before. He's had left-handed passes, which we haven't seen before. And he's got these runs like he had yesterday, which on a highlight reel, and as shallow as it might seem, those matter. When you start accumulating those types of highlights, they start to enter you in that conversation.
I'm just very impressed it only took you to yesterday to be annoyed by people heaping praise on someone
before
they've done anything. And I feel like we have this conversation all the time. And the draft, as we move into draft coverage, it'll be this guy's a once-in-a-generation talent. This guy has talents that we've never seen before. And there's always these quarterbacks that come in and say, he's got these skill sets that he's changing the game. He's changing Okay. You always got to pump the brakes a little bit.
But Nick, Patrick Mahomes is going to take a hometown discount the way Tom Brady did, and they're going to have to pay weapons around him to do it. And yes, Tom Brady had multiple weapons and multiple rosters. Is that something that you could see Patrick Mahomes doing? Could he be that successful if he doesn't have all these tools around him?
They're going to have Kelce and Hill for the next few years. And I don't know if they'll stay at this level, but they're going to have those guys for the next few years. Mecole Hardman, you guys mentioned, he's on a rookie contract for the next four seasons. Brett Veach has done a really good job of seeing this extension coming, so I don't think all of a sudden they're going to have to strip it down. You're right, he's not going to take a hometown discount, and he damn sure shouldn't. Credit for Brady, because that's what he wanted to do after, in 2010, he became the highest paid player in the league. We all forget happened.
That.
It absolutely happened, and then he started taking
10 years into his career.
Well, he was coach.
How many Super Bowls?
Hold on a second. Hold on a second.
He also in 2010.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Brady, prior to 2010, it was not the highest paid player in the league because of where he was drafted and because they paid him early. And when you pay a guy early, he takes the money early because he hadn't made the money, and the team gets a discount. Now, later in his career, he obviously has taken massive discounts in order to try to build the best team around him. And maybe 15 years in, Patrick will do the same thing. I don't know. What I do know is this. If he wins in 2 weeks, it is the greatest first 2 years as a starter of any player at any position ever. I know that. A league MVP followed by, he right now is statistically the greatest postseason passer as far as quarterback rating ever. If they win the Super Bowl and the one playoff loss he has is to the GOAT in overtime when he had two fourth quarter comebacks and never got to touch the ball, it's the greatest first 2 years ever. That's not getting ahead of ourselves. That is where we are. Well, where we would be in 12 days. That's what's on the line for him, and that's the path that one would have to walk
but
if they're going to become
the GOAT. But as great as he is, you can't even pick them to win the Super Bowl.
It's not just
like that was a really that was a, I was so compelled by that.
God. But, yeah, but you, he doesn't know. You know what, coach? You box
he
me
is
in.
The most you unbelievable player to ever play the game. But I'm not sure he's going to be able to beat the 49ers.
Danny, you want to play a little in or out?
Let's do it.
Jimmy G has just 208 passing yards in the Niners' two wins combined this postseason. They might need more than that to have a chance against a Chiefs team averaging 43 points in the playoffs. So, Danny, you in or out on Jimmy G being able to carry the Niners to a Super Bowl win?
I'm in. I think, and this is a lot of part, this is a trust. And if Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch trusted him enough to build him this franchise around him, that I'm going to trust that they can help elevate him to the next level. But we've also seen him do it before. It is no easy task to go into New Orleans against Drew Brees and to go toe-to-toe for him, to need a drive to win the game in the fourth quarter, and he does it. I think it's in him. I think their game plan clearly would be let's try to steer away from that. But if necessary, I think it could be in Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's in him as well. And when you look at his body of work over the course of the season, it's a lot of good numbers. There's a lot of good football. There's a lot of impressive things that he did. He does have a make something happen element to him, where when you're make something happen quarterback, sometimes you make something happen for you, and sometimes you make something happen for them. So he'd have to limit those critical mistakes for
now,
him to carry it.
I'm out. That is not me saying I'm out on the Niners' ability to win the game. But if this becomes a Jimmy Garoppolo game, they lose. They cannot win this game on the arm of Jimmy Garoppolo. They're going to have to win this game on the backs of their defense and in their running game. If he has to throw the ball 35-plus times, they're going to lose this football game. Also, I'm excited for the Super Bowl narrative that hasn't quite popped up yet. We always talk about the Bears taking Trubisky over Mahomes. The Niners traded that pick. They got the third pick. They didn't have Jimmy G yet. They needed a quarterback. They took Solomon Thomas, who's probably been the least productive of all those first-round defensive linemen when they needed a quarterback. They could have had Mahomes or Watson on a much cheaper contract, maybe an even better team they have right now. So I'm out for a number of reasons.
They could have gone all the way back and taken Aaron Rodgers, too.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. How about that? Now, that narrative will exist this Super
Bowl. Right. On to Dez Bryant. Now, he hasn't played in the NFL since 2017, but he is lobbying for return to the Cowboys. He tweeted, "Give me the Witten role." Danny, you in or out on Dallas signing Dez Bryant?
I'm in. Bring him in. See if he's healthy. Give him a chance. He's only 31 years old. I think we forget that sometimes. I know he's been out of the league for 2 years, but at his position, I don't think it's that crazy to think he could come back in, get in football shape, learn the system. It's a different coach with Mike McCarthy, so I think you give him that leash. There's clearly a better relationship than it was a bad relationship with Jason Garrett, so why not bring it in?
Yeah, I'm out. Sometimes when you have a breakup, you can be a little bit nostalgic about the person you broke up with. But there was a lot of stuff there that didn't work, and to try to reinvigorate that, I think it's better just to move on.
Yeah, I'm in. I think a lot of the beef there was with Garrett. Garrett's now gone. Also, I do like the idea of him having the exact Jason Witten role, meaning tight end. How about Dez? Put on a little bit of weight. They need a tight end spot. A little pass-catching tight end. See if he can do it. He'd have to work on his blocking a bit. But in his prime, he was a decent blocker as a wide receiver. Listen, if the Cowboys are into giving jobs to guys who are way past their prime, which they did with Witten, why can't Dez get on that train?
Yep.
Dez would not be less productive as a number three wide receiver than Witten was as one of their tight ends. I'm in. Give it a shot. I'd like to see how that works. Mike McCarthy doesn't have enough on his plate. Bring Dez in.
It's low risk. Leave Pam minimum. See how he is. See how he gets in.
Reports are swirling that the Bengals have already decided they'll take LSU quarterback Joe Burrow with the first overall pick. However, a Bengals exec disputed that report. Danny, we'll ask you. You in or out on Burrow being the number one pick in the NFL draft?
I am in. Coach, he's the greatest prospect we've seen in the
generational talent.
He's a generational talent.
He's going to change the game.
No, but I will say this. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals need a quarterback. He's the best quarterback available. I know Chase Young from Ohio State is attractive, but the tendency we've seen over the past decade or 15 years has been that teams overdraft quarterbacks. I think there's a greater chance you could see Tua Tagovailoa move all the way way up to two or three as well, because teams get desperate and they say, if we find a guy that we like, we're going to take him. I think the team is going to fall in love. He's from there. I think all the aspects, when you look at the film, there's not much negative on this year's film. I think they're all in. I think it's a done deal.
So most coaches were on vacation after the season, and now they're kind of getting back in the office, getting back in a routine, going to the Senior Bowl, and now things with the draft start changing dramatically. So whatever narrative there is right now in terms of where players are is going to be so dramatically different at the end. I'll go in on this because it has a little bit of a Bernie Kosar feel to it. I like the story of him being, you know, his dad coaching in Ohio, at Ohio U in Athens, him being the player of the year. I think that whole part of it makes it a really nice story to go with a team that's in need. And look, what he did in the playoff run was impressive. So I'll go in.
They're going to take him number one overall. I would wager any amount of money on that, but I wouldn't. So I'm out. I think Tua is the pick. I think Tua is going to be better. I understand there are major injury concerns with Tua. I think Tua can be a star quarterback in the NFL. I think Joe Burrow can be a good quarterback.
Maybe
in the
Tua
NFL.
End up in New England.
And well, that, learn, I think that would be his.
He'll learn best 1 year,
case.
Be 1 year behind Brady, and then he'll take over.
Well, that would, if New England, I'm telling you right now, if the Patriots end up.
Well, you ask, but you'll have to back them.
Tua. I am going to lose my mind. That would mean the Dolphins passed on him, and they. No.
See, I don't think there's no way.
Not today, Satan.
To the
Patriots. We're not even talking about
and
that.
And don't you think it would be extremely out of character for them to trade all the way up to have to get him in the top five to get in front of the Dolphins?
This past year, they drafted a wide receiver, and he hadn't done that in 23 years. So.
Stop putting this.
He loves, man. He loves Saban. Listen, they have a great relationship.
Brady stays for a year. He cultivates
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Said he wanted to make
I'm reporting right now Tua, if he's drafted by the Patriots, won't go.
And then, you know.
That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm hearing. We're not talking about this anymore.
Here we go. Time to play Take Your Pick, starting with a cross-sport question. Pat Mahomes is going for his first ring to go along with his MVP. LeBron has three titles and four MVPs. Who do you think is more valuable to their team, Mahomes or LeBron? Danny, take your pick.
I want to go super fast because I just want to get to Nick's answer because I can't wait to see where he goes. I think this is easy, and a lot of it's by position. Quarterback is the most important position in all of sports. If you take LeBron off the Lakers, they can still go to the playoffs and make a really deep run with Anthony Davis. With the Chiefs, if Patrick Mahomes is not on that team, they are not anywhere near as good and probably miss the playoffs.
It's LeBron. Without a doubt, it's LeBron. I was in Cleveland when LeBron was there, and they won. He left, and they lost. And he came back and they won and he left and they lost. In Kansas City, they were winning before Patrick Mahomes got there. They're still winning now. It is hands down LeBron.
Wow.
All right. I want to make this very clear. I'm very irritated with the producers for putting this in the show. It's an unfair position to put me in. The only way to make it any harder is somehow throw Tiger Woods in there as well. And you've got my three favorite athletes potentially ever. But Coach is right. You remove either one of them.
Say it again. It sounds so good.
Coach is right. The answer is LeBron, and here's why. You remove either one of them, their teams can't win a championship. That's very clear. But the Chiefs did win multiple divisions with Alex Smith, who is not a superstar quarterback, but with Andy and those weapons, they were a good team. LeBron, it's not just Cleveland. He leaves the Heat. They go from four straight finals appearances to out of the playoffs. Cleveland happened to him twice. Before he gets to the Lakers, they have the worst team in the league for 6 years. You say they'd go on a deep playoff run with just Anthony Davis. Pelicans never were able to do that. So the answer's, as much as I love Patrick, the answer is LeBron James. He's the most valuable person in all of team sports.
You guys are devaluing the importance of quarterback.
Well, but quarterback is equivalent to
the
NBA
quarterback.
Superstar.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that is a good point. I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
Danny's
quarterback biased. Danny's quarterback biased.
Des Bryant says he wants to return to the Cowboys in a Jason Witten type of role. Last year, Des was signed by the Saints, but he tore his Achilles in practice. Who's a better fit for Des next season, Dallas or New Orleans? Danny, take your pick.
First of all, I just want to say I hope he gets that opportunity. I was out of the league for 2 years and got another opportunity, and that's all he's looking for is a chance to compete. I hope he gets it because it is really a tough realization to come to, especially when you're only 31 years left and you still have something to give to the sport. I think the better fit is the Saints. I think the Cowboys should give an opportunity, but I think the Saints are the better fit. Sean Payton already brought him in once, was willing to kind of take that risk, and unfortunately, had the Achilles injury. If he's healthy, though, I think Peyton is more willing he's a little bit more creative, a little bit more open-minded, I would say, than Mike McCarthy as far as finding a role where you can actually use Dez Bryant, where I think it might be a little bit more challenging for Mike McCarthy.
I agree with you. I love a comeback story, and I'd love for a guy to get an opportunity, but I don't know if I'd be lobbying with, I want the Jason Witten-type role if you think that that role is an underachieving role. That's a hard sell for an organization. I'd say the fit probably is better in New Orleans than it is in Dallas, just because he could go in and play some type of smaller impactful role.
I don't think he's going to have a big impact anywhere, so I'm rooting for Dallas just because it's more fun for us.
Yeah.
I think more, add more uncertainty to that locker room. Dez, a bit of a live wire. I just like to see how it plays out. I don't think he's even a 500-yard receiver at this point anyway, but Witten didn't have to be for him to get his job back, so I say the Cowboys.
I think he was trying to say, I'll play a role. I don't need to be the wide receiver who's asking for more catches. I think that was his point. More so than
I think you're right.
I don't forget the tight ends also have to block. I mean, I know we totally eliminate that, but he's a pretty good blocker, Jason. Yeah.
All right, Andy Reid is one of the best coaches in NFL history without a Super Bowl ring. On the other side, Kyle Shanahan in first Super Bowl as head coach. So who would you rather have on your sideline in Super Bowl 54, Reid or Shanahan? Danny, take your pick.
I think it's fairly easy. You always have to lean on experience in this place. And Andy Reid has been in this position before, and I know Kyle's been there as an offensive coordinator, but it's a whole nother ball game when you are the head coach. And even though Kyle has some very experienced minds that he can pick and pick their brains, and Mike Shanahan and John Lynch, you got to go with Andy Reid. The consistency with which he's been in this position in the playoffs, knowing what it's like, you got to go Andy Reid.
Yeah, I'd lean the same way with Andy as well, just because of the experience. And when you go to it the first time, there's so many unknowns, and you make mistakes because of the moment and the time of the game and all the different things that you have to really experience to understand. So if we're going to go edge, I'd go slight edge Andy because of what he has.
It is the slightest of edges, and I really like Andy Reid, and I think he has a Hall of Fame resume, even maybe if they don't win the Super Bowl. But I think you make a very strong case right now, Kyle Shanahan's the second best coach in the NFL. You may make the same case for Andy, by the way. And so, again, this is not a knock on Andy at all. I think these are the two best offensive minds in football. Kyle hasn't shown me the propensity for the late game clock management or challenge issues that Andy has that always concern me a bit. So, again, we're picking amongst some of the greatest doing it right now. But I think Kyle Shanahan is the coach a lot of people acted like Sean McVay was. Well, I think he actually is.
Sean McVay was going into the playoff or the Super Bowl.
That's what I was just going to say. The greatest of all time. We rolled through those pretty quick. Yeah, now it's the offensive
young
line.
Young genius, a mad scientist.
Listen, there's only ever been one true young genius as an NFL head coach. It's the guy sitting next to us.
Nick, this is great.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you ate this morning, but
new year, new week.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.